Over the long weekend, we saw 14 shootings in Toronto, 17 people injured. Then there was that double shooting yesterday afternoon. Then it was last night. There was this near Royal York Road in the Gardner. Premier Doug Ford, during a stop in the Niagara region today, announced more money is on the way to help deal with all this.
We're investing over $25 million with our police for guns and gangs. That's Toronto alone. And we're going to continue funding. We're going to make another great announcement with the Mayor of Toronto over the next week about more funding to make sure our streets are safe.
Really? Is the Mayor of Toronto going to be in the room at the same time? Be a video conference?
Yeah, that's a big part of the question here, right? I mean,
they haven't been getting along too well, so.
They haven't, and you know, maybe they've mended some fences. Last time the mayor was here, he seemed to indicate that they were back on speaking terms and that there wasn't as much of a rift as the media was making it out to be.
Yeah, and money heals all, but nothing yet on how much funding the city will get and what that money might go towards. But then there's the question. I mean, we're hearing a lot of conversation over the past few days of we need to fix this and we need to fix it now. The only thing I can see as an obvious solution is you put more officers on street corners. Beyond that, what is the solution?
Or you take those officers and you put them into some of the neighborhoods that this kind of stuff is going on in, which may get pushback, may get a bad reaction. Who knows? But, you know, that's one part and one prong of the bigger solution, at least for me.
Yeah, and some to also talk about programs, right, for disadvantaged youth and basically how they can they get a better start, or someone there to help them, guide them to a better place.
A place to hang out, right? Like some of the programs that we saw cut, because when budgets are tight, you have to look for ways to cut. And some of those after-school programs where kids would go, instead of getting messed up with some criminal element, they got cut. So hopefully in this $25 million, it doesn't just go to one part, which is policing, but gets disseminated to some of the areas where having alternatives to that lifestyle are actually found and funded.
Yeah, I guess because that's always the obvious answer. You know, guns and gangs, more police, more officers, more guns to fight guns. And at the end of the day, it's for many, it's hope.
Yeah, and again, I hate to hammer home a point that I've said for years now, but you've got to get a handle, a real honest handle on where these guns are coming from. Because as much as you want to talk about amnesties and you know, handgun bans and all that kind of stuff, that is not where the large amount of these guns are coming from. We all know that that's the case. No one wants to be politically incorrect to deal with where these guns are actually coming over our borders. So it's going to require the federal government as well.
And it sounds like the federal parties are coming up with something.
Well, it's an election year. They got a bag full of cash just throwing it around like a drunk Santa. Mm-hmm.
And this is the opportunity to step forward for each party and say, how would you address this issue? What is your solution? Yeah. Does it seem reasonable?
Do you think we'll see that? Do you think this will be the election where every party is expected to have a public stance on this and that they change?
After this weekend, yes, but time.
Yeah, it's a long time between
fades.
October.
Yeah. So, but I think today we're talking about the Liberals mm-hmm. might have something on the way, but we'll see if the other parties follow suit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, I mean, Toronto is one of those places that is important and could swing this election mm-hmm. this time around. It's a bit of a mess when it comes to the polling out in BC, so I think that this is vital to get it right. Mm-hmm. And if this is the big hot button issue right now, and I believe it is, then they're going to have come up with something and figure out on all fronts, all parties, to figure out exactly where they stand on this.
It's interesting to look at the numbers, though. Homicides in the city are down considerably. If I have the numbers right, by this point last year it was 55 through gun violence. I think we're at 39. And you actually look at the numbers of shootings and victims, they're very comparable, actually. Mm. They're not. So it comes in bunches, right? So we saw what we saw on the weekend. Now, you've noticed every shooting since the weekend is covered a bit more intensely based on what happened.
The halo effect.
At the end of the day, if we're kind of in the same place we were last year, does it really take all this attention?
And it spikes in summer, and it spikes when the days are longer, right? Like, mm-hmm. I went out years ago on a ride-along, and you could see that the dashboard in the police car lit up as the sun set. And so these are the hot days of summer. These are the long days of summer. We'll hope to see that trend, Dave, as the fall weaves in. Will we see these numbers fall? And relative to other cities around the world, Toronto is still a pretty safe place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, from the policing front, I would suggest if we're going to put more officers into these areas, you've got to hire more officers to put into these areas, because the cops I've talked to, a lot of them are burnt out. Like, they're going, you know, pretty hardcore, working a lot of overtime and what have you.
Yeah, there's certain staples that I think people usually don't complain about. You spend money on protection, health and education.
I don't want any
pushback. Those are the priorities.
Wait a minute, you're trying to protect me more? And
what? Yeah. More police officers? No.
Make me feel better? Come on now. Is this a story about bats?
Yeah, the Halt. I just found this before I came in. The Halton Region Health Department has confirmed two bats in Burlington and Oakville have tested positive for rabies. One bat found in the area of Upper Middle Road and Cavendish Drive in Burlington. Another Lakeshore and Bronte in Oakville. Now, these are the first two confirmed cases of rabies in Halton this year. Residents who may have had physical contact with a bat are advised to contact the health department by calling 311. Otherwise, you know what that means.
Listen to them. Children of the night.
Yep, vampire time. Anyone who comes in physical contact with a bat or other wild animal should see a physician immediately and contact the health department. Rabies, viral disease, severe damage to the brain, spinal cord. If untreated, yeah, it can lead to death. So there you have it. Oakville and Burlington, they've tested some bats there, and they're positive for rabies. Now, like, bats are that kind of animal, though, anyways, that nobody's like, oh, bring the bat over here so I can pet it. Everybody dives for cover anyways when it starts flying around.
There's something about bats. They are creepy. If a bird gets stuck in the attic, that's okay. But a bat? Oh. It's creepy.
It is creepy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm stocking up on garlic as we speak.
That's true. They're the member of the animal kingdom that nobody invites to parties.
Yeah. Just, why do I never get to go anywhere?
Look at you.
I get such a bad rap. I mean, even raccoons are at the party. Raccoons.
Goddamn Bram Stoker.
Let's talk a little bit about crime. This was interesting. This is interesting today.
Yeah, the numbers were huge. York Regional Police invited us to their headquarters in Aurora today to show off a wall of drugs they seized as part of two separate investigations. Now, these operations, they focused on drugs being trafficked by, well, organized crime, as we often see, and this was in the GTA. 60 people arrested in total. They seized more than $45 million in stuff. Semi-automatic handguns, more than $270,000 in currency, 20,000 illegally grown cannabis plants, a wall of dried pot, cocaine, meth, about 6 kilograms of fentanyl. Now, that stands out. That's actually the largest seizure of its kind in the department's history.
It would have been destined for distribution in the GTA, so thankfully our investigators seized that prior to it hitting our streets and causing more deaths or overdoses.
How dangerous is this stuff?
There have been more deaths associated to fentanyl or opiate overdoses in Ontario than both homicide and traffic collisions combined.
One group had been busted before, but it turns out, well, they just went into trafficking high volumes of synthetic drugs. Another, an Asian organized crime group, was actually manipulating the medicinal marijuana licensing system.
This is the wild part for me.
This kills me. So yeah. They had licenses to grow plants, well, for themselves at home.
The licensing regime that they were into was the designated production and personal production licenses, not the licensed producers or the bricks and mortar factories. So they were doing it under the guise of a doctor gives you a certificate or a note to grow marijuana and obtain a license that you will grow for yourself or for someone else.
Not that you could fill a factory with plants and then sell it on the black market. I'm not exactly sure. I'm wondering how that was of an advantage to them. Was it the aspect that if somebody came around to check, they could explain away that pot plant in the corner?
Yeah, I would also assume that authorities probably wouldn't waste their time when somebody's got a license, right? You'd think, okay, well, if that person over there has got a license, why would I even knock on their door?
Yeah.
It works as a bit of a guise.
Because if you have 20,000 pot plants, once you get over four, they're on to you, whether you have a license or not. So that's the part I'm not really too familiar with of how that was an advantage to them, but still, that was, apparently they were sort of, well, actually I did find this out from Siobhan earlier. They would have like 8 licenses for one home. They would try to stockpile them, but in little piles, so they felt they could get away with it. But I can only imagine that personal license allows for, like we're seeing now legally, 4 plants, 1 plant, 2 plants. Not even if you had 20, they'd say, yeah, you're overboard.
And this weed wasn't being sold here. It was being sold in the States.
That's right.
Right? The boxes of it. I saw the videos from York Regional Police. There's box after box after box filled with marijuana.
Wow.
And they were using that money to fund the fentanyl and cocaine business.
Yeah. Organized crime. This is their moneymaker.
Because marijuana isn't that business for them now, right?
Because
it's not much in it for them. I mean, there is here and there, but for the most part, fentanyl and coke is where it's at for these guys.
And you hear that. Murder and what was it? Traffic accidents combined. This is killing more people.
Yeah.
Still.
Speeding in the news.
Yes. As the wise Mrs. Potts once said.
Tale as old as time.
Who was Mr. Potts, by the way? I looked that up. His name was Jean Potts. Apparently,
Mr. Lansbury?
I don't know. It's just some dude that was shrunk down to a pot. Anyways, maybe it's
you
not
know a, too much.
I was like, Mrs. Potts? So there was a Mr. Potts? Anyways, it's not as old as time, but as long as the automobile has existed, young men have driven dangerously fast in them. Take this 20-year-old guy today, busted on the 403 in Mississauga early this morning, going almost 230 kilometers an hour in his Audi S4. He's lost his license, his car for a week. And as I say every time, I have no idea how a person like that gets insurance after this.
Yes.
Yeah, they must be like, they laugh and hang up every time he calls. Well, the OPP telling us they caught about 50 extreme speeders in the GTA last week alone, more than half in their teens or 20s.
Yeah, it is predominantly young men, but we do see women and older generations as well getting caught up in this activity. But it is predominantly those between 24 and 40, I guess, which are most typically charged with street racing and stunt driving.
Dudes, right? Those 50 extreme speeders, that's the average. That's what blew me away. 50 people by the OPP on OPP-patrolled roads, so highways. 50, they average about 8 a day.
That's unbelievable.
And then we're talking about 50 or over, and you feel like it's more rare, and no, it's just quite common.
You were a young man once, I'm going to assume.
No, I went straight from like 17 to 47.
Okay, it's fair. That's actually believable. But did you ever have this kind of fascination when you were young? Like
not
about
really.
Flooring it?
I was never a car guy. That was the problem. Okay. So, and even to this day, I'm still the guy that just goes over in the right lane, goes 100, lets everybody pass
me. Are you that guy? I would not have pegged you as the right lane granny driver in that car.
That's not a granny driver. Leave the guy alone. I'm kind of in the same camp.
Are you that
guy?
Yeah,
I don't...
Really?
Like, I always look at the jack wagon that's behind me that's right on my tail, and I think to myself, okay, buddy, if you want to go, go. I'll get out of your way. I don't know where you're rushing off to,
right.
But it's clearly way more important than wherever I'm going.
So you move on over to the right. And is that your dominant lane then, the right?
Yeah, and so it should be.
It's the default dominant lane.
I find it stressful, too. That's the issue. When the traffic is all, even a, it doesn't even have to be especially heavy, but when you're speeding, there's sort of that, oh, I'm behind this person. I have to move over here, now back in here, now over to the far to the right, now back all the way to the left. I got past, though, and here comes the next crowd of people.
Yeah.
Overnights, I could see that on an empty 401 between here and Montreal. Yeah, I could see myself going 150 if I was allowed because it's empty.
How about 226?
How many cars even go to 228, 230?
Yeah, that's quite a thing.
What does that look like?
That's stunt car driving speed.
Oh, I get 140 and I start glancing around like, what am I doing? I don't want that ticket. That's the thing, I don't want to pay the piper.
Yeah. I guess the piper's the guy behind you trying to get past. The other part of it is, like, you lose your license for 7 days out of the shoot. That's
it? Yeah, and your car,
seven days.
And
I'll
give you that, certainly a 230. Maybe we should have another level when you're going 100 or more over. We get you. But as I said, where they must pay the price. See, so I'd love to hear from someone that said, yeah, I was caught going 200. Did you ever get insurance again? How did you pull that off?
Like what was the end result of that?
Do you remember first getting insurance for your first car?
Yeah.
I mean, heck, at the time, that was 25, 30 years ago, I was paying $350, $400 a month. So what would they pay nowadays for something like this with that kind of ticket?
That's just too low, though. This idea you use your license for a week, that doesn't seem right. That something's got a right size.
What does the laughter sound like from the insurance office after they hang up the phone? This guy, 228.
Larry, get over here.
Come on, I got a 228 on the phone. What do you want to gouge this guy with today? 6:16, Dave McKee is here with his views on the news. Continuing conversations. We're having great conversations off the air, on the air, everywhere. Everywhere you go, you have great conversations, including this one about Uber.
Yeah, there was a story I skipped yesterday. Remember, it was at the end. It was about Lyft. But now that I have some additional earnings results, let's do her today. Some insight into how much money these ride-sharing companies are losing. So Uber lost $5.2 billion in the second quarter, its largest quarterly loss ever. Now, there is an explanation. Following its IPO, paid almost $4 billion in stock-based compensation and expenses during the quarter. It's a way of rewarding employees. $300 million in stock and cash to drivers.
Ooh.
Uber's revenue rose 14%, but apparently that growth is declining, if you know what I'm saying, but it was $3.2 billion. CEO expects the losses to diminish in coming years while the company invests aggressively. Says there's no doubt the business will eventually become profitable. Sure, it will. Lyft, meantime, reporting strong revenue growth yesterday. Deep losses in its second quarter, though. Company's not turned a profit or demonstrated a path to profitability. Revenue of almost $900 million, up 72%, but the company that's out of San Francisco lost $664 million in the quarter, which was worse than its loss that the analysts expected. They thought about $450 million. But it's amazing to see. I just don't know how you can, in this day and age, you can continue to operate that way with such massive losses.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot. They've got deep pockets at Uber, and they want this to turn around and be a success eventually. And I think they will. But I find it interesting that the drivers were getting stocks and those type of options put in.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that they did give something to them.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. Well, these disruptive economies, these new sectors that are popping up, it's not like GE or Procter & Gamble, where we know how to track the stock, we know what to predict, we know how they shift with the markets. These are new industries. This is an entirely new thing. And so being able to sort of track what the revenue is going to be on the short term or long term is hard for most to do. And I think some of the reporting numbers show that.
Yeah, the CEO said, oh, we could, you know, fight to break even if we wanted to, but that's not our goal. And we had other objectives, but he's talking about still a couple of years before potentially they break even. Mm-hmm. You know what? We talk about this every time. These companies are holding out for autonomous cars. That's where they see themselves really.
Because that's where the real money is, right? If I don't have to pay any of the drivers, absolutely, it's all profit.
Hmm. Yeah, mechanics, and that's about it.
Yeah.
How long until that's a thing, do you think?
Six, 7 years.
Did you see this? There's a location. Oh, it's going to bother me. I can't remember it. It's on one site right now. I want to say Brooklyn. The Naval Yard in Brooklyn is now using autonomous vehicles. They started testing them this week. They have like 8 of them. And it's for the people moving in around that naval yard. So there you go. On private property, they're starting to try them out.
Wow.
Let's talk about this story out of Durham.
Yes, Durham police, two revelations today. This is about the death of Melanie Vachon. Now, first, the 46-year-old woman from Whitby, she was murdered. And they've now charged her ex-boyfriend. So it was May 25th of last year. We covered this story. Police were asking for help locating this missing woman. We always get these stories about missing people. And yeah, sometimes the worst does happen. She had been seen nor heard from in almost 3 weeks while her body was found about a week after the police put out that appeal for public help. She was found, her body, by the waterfront. So 44-year-old Jeffrey Weldon of Whitby charged with second-degree murder. Nothing on the cause of death. Nothing about a motive. Please tell us. This will come out during the trial.
All right. This is another story we touched on earlier in the show.
Did you talk about this?
It's really interesting, though.
It is. It is, because my parents were just in this situation as well. So with a housing shortage in Toronto, is it time we throw grandma out with her goiter? A new study suggests seniors living in Toronto are more likely to stay longer in their family-sized homes than they were a decade ago. So the CMHC has released a report tracking home ownership trends among Toronto residents 65 or older. It says seniors accounted for 25% of homeowners in 2016, but that's up 5 points from 2006. It attributes this to the fact that seniors, well, they're working longer and they're enjoying better health, enabling them to hang on to their homes longer before they downsize. But they say the trend also points to a potential shortage for younger generations. And that trend is expected to continue as the population continues to age.
Yeah, and that's fascinating, right? You think about how it used to work, right? The downsize used to happen in that mid-60s department. Maybe they got a place in Florida, an apartment here, or maybe the cottage, and that was their now primary residence. It's not like that anymore.
No, and you almost, in my hometown, you would sometimes buy your parents' house,
yes,
right? As they got older and moved into a different setting, you would buy, and that's where your family was. So the family roots were there. But Dave, you're right. People are living longer. They've made more money. There's no mandatory retirement anymore. So they can just keep working as much as they want to. And the housing stock, which is already pretty small in this town, just keeps shrinking.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, what do you say to them, right?
Yeah.
It's their home.
Yeah,
they've worked very hard for it. They want to stay there. That's their prerogative. And sometimes it does get passed down to another generation. So there's that aspect as well. But Yeah, they're living longer and they're making more money. Boomers.
This survey we discussed a little bit as well, but I'm curious as to your take.
Yeah, I think you did cover this, didn't you? So new research from a global staffing firm shows that 80% of Canadian employers are concerned about holding on to top talent, and with good reason. So there's a separate survey that revealed basically 1 in 3, 33% of professionals plan to look for a new job in the next year. And I love this. I love this part. The retention tactics most often cited by employers: increasing communication with staff. Yeah, that'll keep me. Improving employee recognition program. Here's a gold star for you, Bill. And offering professional development. Ooh, more work. Okay, workers, what do you think they say the best way to keep them? Pay me more and give me a promotion. One analyst points out turnover can be incredibly costly to business because it's not just in terms of lost money and time, but it's also through staff morale. Of course, there's also retraining, people getting up to speed. That can take some time in some businesses. He suggests career development opportunities and extra vacation days to keep employees happy. Or a raise.
Well, you look at this and you think what? Because, I mean, you've been around the block for a while. Mm-hmm. You've been around this company for a while. You look at this and think,
Yeah, you know, these are the things we talk about every year. So we have these, you know, they'll do the employee survey, and then they ask, okay, what can we go? And it's funny, no matter what you write in the employee survey, it always comes out with the same, everything is wonderful, you all love us. So but we're going to talk to you more, and we're going to give you opportunities to
I always
promotion.
Write, pay Dave more.
In mind. And it's, you know what? They refuse.
They, even with my endorsement on that, nothing for you.
So it's they don't seem to... It's that disconnect. And at the end of the day, you often in large corporations, you really just do feel like an employee number that if you fall above or below a line at some point, best of luck to you.
Well, this stuff, though, you need to also slice, I think, based on demographics. So what millennials may be looking for, I meet with a ton of them in my office every week looking for movement in their careers and looking for advice. The words around the sense of purpose is a sentence that I don't always hear in the same way from Gen X and maybe even the boomers to a different extent. So even just thinking as an employer perspective of what my employees want has to be subdivided based on where they are in their life. And if you're just starting out like that caller who is 28 and has a 4-month-old, he needs some stability and some benefits to be able to get roots firmly planted. But if you're 67 and thinking about maybe it's vacation time or flex time to spend with the grandkids. So it does vary based on where you are in your career path.
It's also the number of positions, too. You take something like our radio station. There's only so many places you can go at some point.
That's true.
I mean, for, you guys are kind of where you're going to be, unless I guess you change to the time of the day. But that is really is not as relevant as it once was in the past. And
but we do know people. I mean, the two of us know people who have pivoted from place to place to place and got promotions all the way along and got to the top of the food chain.
Yeah, but they're few and far between, right?
That's true.
And see, there's not a lot of management opportunities with this. So then you look for other things, perks like, well, get me drunk once a quarter. You know, have a party, make sure I get to go to it, and show us that sort of communal spirit. That's the thing I always find is missing in large corporations, the sense of that we are one big family, and once again, not just an employee number.
Mm. That makes sense.
I'm happy to hear your perspective on things, Dave.
You like that?
I will chime in for another raise for you employee survey time.
I'm sure that'll go over well.
I meant Dave McKee. Imagine Dave Bradley's getting all the raises we've been suggesting.
That's
where it's
going.
Dave McKee with his views on the news.
Thanks,
always full value. Thank you, sir.